Take your Bibles, go with me, if you would please, to the book of Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter number 10. I'm talking to maybe college and career age and teenagers. Do me a favor, respond to this if you would. How many of you have been in church all your life? Pretty good sized crowd, wow. How many of you have been in church less than 2 years? Okay. How many of you have no idea where you are right now? No idea. It's all the adults. I appreciate that. I got it. Luke chapter number 10, verse 1 says, "And after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come." The Bible says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." Skip down, if you would, in verse number 8, "And into whatsoever city ye shall enter, and they receive you. Eat such things as are before you." Verse 10, and it says, "But into the whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same and say." We're going to stop right there, and we're going to pray. And our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the Bible being trustworthy. Thank you, dear God, for what it has done in my life and, Lord, so many others. And, Lord, tonight, could we be reminded of the central theme of what we're to do as born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Help us, Lord God, this night. Lord, be powerful to us. And, Lord, help us as we maybe just set the table a little bit for Preacher Gray to come and help us this night. And Lord, move here, for we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. When I started going to a church like this some 38 years ago, I heard for the very first time the word soul winning. Our preacher said it a lot. Our preacher used to say, if some of you think I've got a record caught in a groove, and he said, if I do, I got it caught in the right groove. You and I are to be personal soul winners. I said, you and I are to be personal soul winners. If you're a saved child of God, you're to go tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to do it when you feel like it. You're supposed to do it when you don't feel like it. It's an odd thing about the Christian life. We treat it so different than what we do our everyday life. You ever gone to work when you felt like it? I haven't either. Have you ever gone to work when you didn't feel like it? Yeah, we all have. We do things because we need to do them or we have to do them. Well, here's the same thing about the Christian life and this this central theme of this thing called soul winning. We got to go, and we got to go, and we got to go. I want to just show you a few things about this, and I'll sit down and we'll get ready for the next sermon. But the Bible tells us here there's 70 people. And the Bible describes these 70 people in verse number 3 as lambs among wolves. The Bible describes them and says that the work is so overwhelming, the work that they have to do, that they're going to need to be praying for more laborers. I have been a laborer before. When I was 19, 20 years old, I worked at a company called Townsend W. Bell, a construction company in Tampa, Florida. I was a laborer. Now, labor, all that means is, go get that, go get that, go get that. You don't have to be the smartest person on planet Earth. You don't need to be the brightest bulb to be a laborer. All you got to do is just go do what they tell you to do. I toted blocks, concrete blocks. And I say that to you, I can feel my fingertips evaporating, going away from carrying those blocks in my hand. You should cry for me, and I'd appreciate it. No tears. I appreciate that, too. Sure enough, I would go when I'd go, and whatever they told me to do, you didn't have to know very much. The Bible says here they were as lambs among wolves. Brand new, 70 Christians that perhaps had just been saved, and the Lord Jesus Christ sends them out to tell others about himself. I like this about the soul winning thing. Anybody can, and everybody can tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I say to you tonight, anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. I don't care how bad it is, anybody can be saved. We were knocking doors one time down a dirt road, off of a dirt road, over in our city, across the bridge here. And I just knocked the door on the last house on that dirt road. As we were walking away from the door, somebody pulled in. They pulled up in a pickup truck and jumped out, kind of startled that we were there and wouldn't know what we were doing and who in the world we were. I told my soul winning partner, well, speak up, tell him. I've got to hide. I'm just kidding. But we told him what we were doing. I went through the plan of salvation with him, and he says, I can't do it. He says, I've done something awful, awful bad. I described to him that half of the New Testament was written by a man who had Christians killed and executed. I described to him that the first five books of the Old Testament were written by a man who had murdered another man. And I said, sir, I can't imagine doing anything much worse than killing people. And I sure can't imagine doing anything much worse than killing Christian people of all things. And sure enough, he consented to understanding that, and he bowed his head and prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, you know what? When I was witnessed to, I did not ask the people who were telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ if they were experienced. I did not ask them if they'd been trained. I didn't ask them anything. They just showed up and started telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, tonight, all God's looking for is a laborer. All God's looking for is somebody who will just go. You say, I don't know enough. You'll be fine. All you need to go and tell them is what you know. I tell our people sometimes, it really is called personal soul winning. Well, if it's personal soul winning, then everybody has a personal testimony, do you not? You read the New Testament and you find out how many times the Apostle Paul gave his testimony of how he got saved. Well, anybody can tell the person what happened to you, right? Because it happened to you. Amen? I said it happened to you. Now, because it happened to you, you can tell somebody else what happened to you. You can tell somebody else how to be born again. You can tell them what you did and asking Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, let me say this to you tonight. So God tonight is just looking for laborers. That's all he's looking for. He's not looking for a veteran Christian any more than he's looking for a brand new Christian. He's just looking for somebody who would go tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like this about soul winning. He has promised to me and he has promised to you that it is a harvest. We're not going out there where there's nobody who is interested in this. There's always somebody interested. I'm convinced of this. If you and I could stay functioning properly and we could go 24 hours a day, I believe you, every one of us would find somebody to get saved in a 24-hour period. We'd find somebody willing to do that. Now, I have the same problem you have. I'd prefer that they would come to me. I would prefer to put a sign out front. What must you do to be saved? Check with a preacher standing by the door in the air-conditioned building. Especially we who live in Florida. People tell us how hard it is to go soul winning in the snow, and I'm sure it is. And I promise God, I don't ever want to find out. Amen. But you know what? Here it's a little difficult when you're out there, and it's 95 degrees, and it's 195% humidity. Amen. You know, Florida, we wake up and you walk out of the car, and by the time you get to your car, you already need another shower in the morning, do you not? We got this thing called humidity, and it wears us out. But you know what? All we need to do is just go out there and know that it is a harvest field. There is somebody who wants me to talk to them. The day that I got saved, there was not even a personal soul winner there, but the Lord Jesus Christ was there, and the soul winners had done their job well enough that I bowed on my knees in the bottom of the Grand Canyon and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. All across this auditorium, there are people who have been led to Christ. There are people that somebody else went to their door or talked to them at work, and somebody showed them how to be saved and how to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm telling you, nothing's different. The harvest is still plenteous. It's no less today. In fact, I believe it's more vast today than it ever has been. What God's problem is the problem is me and the problem is you. God is looking for somebody who would go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is be a volunteer and go on out there. You can go out there and be, I don't know quite what to do. I have this, Brother Scott.
We have in our church, Ushi, would you raise your hand? This is Ushi Reed right there. And one of the most delightful people you'll ever meet. I had the privilege of leading her and her husband to Christ a couple years ago, knocking their door one Thursday night. And we were so sure they needed to be saved, I knocked their door, and I'm inside witnessing them. And two of our soul winners came by. I know one of them was my son, maybe both of my son, came and knocked on the same door. We knew these folks need the Lord. We have got to get the gospel, especially to this woman. If anybody needs it, she needs it. Now, Miss Ushi has gone soul winning and gone soul winning and gone soul winning and gone soul winning and gone soul winning. We had a thing we called Faith Promise for Souls. A lot of people do faith promise for missions and all that. We thought, well, you know what? Let's do faith promise for souls. And we made a commitment that we wanted to believe God, that God would use us to win X amount of people to Christ. And we filled out a little card. And by the grace of God and by the power of God, we're going to go tell other folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They both wanted to win somebody to Christ. Brother Tom and his wife, Ushi, wanted to win somebody to Christ. They came in here one night at soul winning time, and Miss Ushi did not use the carpet. Miss Ushi barely could keep her head off the ceiling, and I thought, something big has really happened. She had told me again and again, preacher, I just can't talk to him. I just can't talk. I just can't talk. I just can't talk. I said, no, Ushi, that's a lie. I know you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I said, all you got to do is tell them about Jesus when you're talking to him. They have a friend that we've been praying for a couple years plus, and since the time, I think he was, for 16 or 18 years, he battled cancer. In his early 20s, he started battling cancer. I had the privilege with my daughter Emily, who plays the piano, to go by one day and lead this young man, Jason, to Christ. He struggled and lost the struggle to life and now is in heaven. While he was in the ICU unit, Miss Ushi and her husband Tom went in, and there were all kind of people in that room with them. And they in that room were able to lead four people to Christ. Little Ushi had never, I can't do this, I just can't do this, I just can't do this. When it was all over, they left there and they went to two other homes and led four more family members to Christ. And one day she won eight people to Christ. And she can't even do it. See, God, when people are lost, they don't care who's talking to them. They're just lost. I said they're just lost. They just need somebody who will show up and somebody who just care. Just somebody just being willing to step in there and take whatever comes on the other side of the door. I've knocked doors for 38 years. I've never met anybody more rude than I was when my soul winning people came to me. I mean, I was rude. I mean, threw them out of the trailer one day, threw them out of the trailer the next day, let them have it on the side of the road the third day, and on it went. I didn't want to hear anything about it, but thank God they wanted me to hear about it. Amen. And tonight, maybe we just need some old-fashioned pit bull in us again, amen? Where we're going to go win somebody to Christ, and there's somebody out there who really does want to hear me. So tonight, see, I didn't ask the people who came and witnessed to me, have you had a soul winning course yet? Now, don't you talk to me unless you've had a soul winning course. Don't talk to me unless you know all the books of the Bible. Don't you talk to me unless you can tell me how many chapters and how many verses are in the Bible. Don't you talk to me unless you can tell me if Adam had a navel or not. I've always been nervous. Aren't you? When you go somewhere, you're nervous about they're going to ask you some question that you don't know. I am always 50-50 on that. Sometimes I'll flip a coin on the way to the door and say if they ask if Adam has a belly button, heads as he did and tails as he did not. I just make something up, huh? I'll take care of that question. Or you can do better than that. You could go, I don't know. I don't know. That's not what we came for, huh? We didn't just come to discuss Adam's anatomy. We came to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, tonight it is a command of God. It is not only the command of God, but we're reminded that this can be done by rank amateurs. Somebody who is a brand new Christian, somebody can tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. You remember in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ went to, must needs go through Samaria, and he went and found a little woman at the well. And when he found her there, he told him about her himself. And sure enough, she got saved, did she not? He didn't have time to even get her baptized. He didn't have time to get her tithing envelopes. He didn't have time to get her on a bus route. He didn't have time to do any of that thing. That little lady just took off back to town and said, come see a man who told me all I've ever done. Come see this man. Come see this man. While she was in town, a bunch of people trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some of them a little more dulled about her because they didn't really trust her because of her background. And they said, you know what? We don't believe you. She said, well, go check him out yourself. They went and checked him out themselves, and sure enough, they got saved also, did they not? Now, she just got saved. And then she's right back out telling somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the freshness of brand new Christians. Man, they believe everybody can get saved and everybody ought to be saved. And tonight, you and I ought to still believe the same thing. I said, you and I ought to still believe the same thing. We ought to go out there believing there's somebody who wants to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go tell them about Jesus Christ, and I'm going to die trying. I like this. God makes it real simple for me. He says, now, Mr. Breedlove, basically this is what's going to happen. In verse number 8, he said in the middle of that verse, there's three words. They receive you. They receive you. I can remember that. I can remember when Brother Tom told me his wife's name, and he said, Ushi. I said, could you say that again? I'd never heard that name before. I can see that door opening, the glass door on the front there, and opening it, and us stepping in, and us sitting at their table. I can remember just like it just happened, and we went in there, and they received me. When you and I go sowing, there are going to be some people who will receive you. Some people just sit there and stop and let them. You tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, it's the most incredible thing, this thing of soul winning, when you go out and just somebody stops and listens to you. And they listen to somebody they've never even met in their life, and we're able to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they just take it. One of my kids, one time we had a swing set, and they were pushing an old teeter totter that didn't have all the seats on it just right. And they pushed it, and when they pushed it, it came back and it ripped their nose. Good night, it was scary. Blood going every which way. We rushed them to the hospital just down the street from us, less than a mile. Why'd you live just less than a mile from the hospital? We have 7 kids. One, they got to be born someplace. I don't want to drive far. The kid's going to be coming early in the morning. Two, they're going to have injuries all the time. So why would we want to drive a long time? Let's just go right down the road to the hospital. It's a convenience hospital is what it is. Sure enough, we got there, and the fellow looked at me and said, now, I can stitch this up for you, but you're going to be better off if you go to a plastic surgeon. We went shipped across the other side of the county, went to the other side of the county. We're sitting there, and we're making a little small talk while they'd numb my young'un's face there, and we're waiting for him to take care of everything. And we're just making a little small talk, and I said, well, doctor, I said, how long you been here? And he said, oh, 6 hours. Okay. I said, no, not today. How long you been here at the hospital? And he said, 6 hours. I don't know about you. I don't know how you are about your kids, but I'm looking at my kid thinking, you've been here 6 hours? And you'll be taking care of my kid? I don't think so. I wasn't real comfortable for that. But you know what? I looked this thing over. I thought, okay, it's me, my wife, or this guy who's been here for 6 hours. And I voted, I'll trust this guy who's been here for 6 hours. Because I couldn't even imagine what it would look like if I was trying to stitch that thing up. We'd have their nose attached to their top lip or their bottom lip, and their teeth be poking out somehow, and that would not be a pretty picture. And my wife, you got to know her, she's so thorough, she'd stitch it so hard that they'd pull the other side of the nose over here too, right? I tell you this, I've had a little skin cancer cut off over me over the years. They have actually taken some skin from my ear right here and put it here. I've taken some skin from this side over here and put it right here. So I can really hear everything. I can hear you here. I can hear you here. I can hear you here. And I can hear you on this side. The last time I went in, they couldn't do that. They said, now, Pastor Breedlove, we're going to have to, it's going to be a little rugged, but we're going to have to pull your nose together and just stitch it over the top of your the gristle there. And I said, okay, let's go for it. Now, when I did not know this, but they brought the little nurse in to help the doctor. And when she did, she climbed up almost on top of me. I thought she had a crowbar. I thought she had all kind of stuff pulling that nose together. And here's that doctor just pulling that thing, pulling that thing, pulling that thing. Oh, my soul. I'm glad we didn't have that doctor do my youngin's nose. I know I need plastic surgery, but don't you say anything about that if you would. We let that doctor who'd only been there and working in the hospital for the first time in his life for 6 hours, we trusted him to take care of our child. And tonight I'm telling you, they'll be willing to trust you, and you can go out there and understand some of them are going to receive you. Could I tell you what else the Bible says? In verse 10, he says this. He says, some, the Bible says, they receive you not. They receive you not. See, I can handle that. I can handle going in the door. Somebody is going to receive me, and I can handle going in the door knowing somebody will not receive me. Somebody's going to say, yes, glad to see you, and some of them are going to absolutely let me have it. But you know, God's really cool, isn't he? Amen. He's cool how he solves everything. We were soul winning one time, Brother Price and I, and we were on a street some of our members live on now, and we went to this door, and this guy just went off on us. You know what? I found this out. They're going off on me. They're not going off on me. They're going off because the Jehovah's Witness has been out there and irritated the ever-loving fire out of them. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. And they're blasting me. You know why they're blasting me? Because first of all, we're the only ones that put our number on it. You got our telephone number. You don't get a telephone number from the Jehovah's Witness outfit. You got to call the headquarters about the best you're going to get out of that thing. So they're mad about them, and you and I, we stand there and take it. Huh? I had a guy go off with me the other day and said, now take my name off this list. I was thinking, what list are you on? And I said, well, sir, I just got to tell you. He said, yeah, I'm tired of you people coming by here. And I said, sir, I got to tell you, it's the first time I've ever come by your house. Oh, and then slammed the door. This guy let us have it. He blasted us. It wasn't a couple months later, maybe 3 months later. We're at this get-together. One of our families invited us over to be there. And I look up, and guess who's standing there? The guy who blasted me. I found out his name. I went over and shook his name. I shook his hand, shook his name. It's that ice cream. I'm already slobbering at the mouth. It's killing me. You're sure you got it back there? Can I trust him? Brother Bundy, can I trust him? Okay, I'm happy. We'll stop right there, huh? Now listen. God wants you to know you're going to go. Some will receive you and some will not receive you. And either way, it's okay. I've done my job. I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to show up. I'll tell you a little story and I'm going to pull over and be done tonight. Years ago, I was teaching the children's church I taught you about, that I said something about earlier today. There was 150, sometimes 200, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in this children's church. My brother-in-law and I, sometimes we thought we were D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and all those kind of guys. I got this idea one day, and I'll take the credit as the idea I had, and I said, here's what we're going to do. My brother-in-law, his name, we call him Olief, his last name's Olson, so he's called Ole. I said, now, Ole, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to do a soul winning demonstration. I said, what we'll do is we'll sit up front. I'll bring my New Testament, and I'll go through the plan of salvation. And I'll pretend I'm leading you to Christ. And I said, and afterwards, we'll pass out gospel tracts. We'll have Bible tracts on the back. We'll hand them out to everybody, and they can take them out and go home and tell other folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, it was a very, very, very well put together soul winning demonstration. I mean, we really did do a pretty good job. We're all done. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. Sometimes your ego gets in the way. We're all done. We're thinking, wow, what a great job we did. Man, we were talking about what a fantastic job we did, and the whole world is going to be reached overnight by these 100, 200 bus kids who are going to go and tell their friends and their loved ones and their neighbors about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we're high-fiving and 10-fiving and all that kind of stuff. We're all excited about it. And then we go walking out to the bus. When we all walk out to the buses, you know what? You look out the buses and there's stuff flying back and forth between the buses. I'm thinking, what in the world they got? I went out there and they had the gospel tracts. And they had wadded them up. They had dropped the windows. And bus to bus were throwing and having a battle of gospel tracts. Some of them, you see this, you'd see airplanes come flying by you, floating through the air. I went from the top of the world to dropping down and thinking, oh my soul, I can't believe it. I thought we had wasted our time. The next Sunday, a little boy who rode my bus that I drove, named Harry Stone, he came in and he called me Brother Lamar. He said, Brother Lamar, he said, I just want you to know, I did that thing. I did it. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I said, what are you talking about, Harry? He said, I did that thing that you taught last Sunday. I said, you did? I said, you went and told somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I sure did. He said, I had three people saved this week, and two of them are standing right here. Here's my buddies that got saved this week. I don't know about you. I got a little happy right then. I thought, this is okay. This is okay. The next week he came in and Harry walked up to me. He said, Brother Lamar, he said, we got a problem. We got a problem, a big problem. I said, what's the problem, Harry? He said, at the school, they said, I can't pass out the gospel tracts anymore. Years ago, we had the DeLand High School over across the bridge, the next little city up. The principal called me one day and said, Pastor Breedlove, I need your help on this. He said, some of your guys from your church are stuffing the lockers full of gospel tracts in our lockers here at the high school. He said, I'm going to have to ask you, if you would please, to tell them to stop doing that. I said, Mr. Principal, I'm sorry to say this to you. I've been trying to get them pumped up for about 5 years to do that, and I'm glad they're doing that. And all God's people said, amen. You know what? Let's not outlaw the gospel at the school. Amen. Let's get the gospel out there. Let's stand up for Jesus. Amen. Let's get some spine to us again and represent the Lord Jesus Christ like we're supposed to. So, Harry, you can't witness in the hallways anymore. I said, what in the world? God bless you, buddy. He said, that's okay. It's okay. I said, it's okay. He said, yeah. He said, they said the hallways. I take them in the bathrooms now, and I win them to Christ in the bathrooms. Right. 38 years ago, I heard a man named Dr. John R. Rice preach on tears in heaven. And talked about loved ones. There'd be a day that God would have to wipe our tears away from Revelation 21:4. And he said, perhaps, folks, maybe it's because you got loved ones who will die and go to hell, and you'll see they're not in heaven. And there'll have to be a day that God will have to wipe your tears away. I went home that night as a 21-year-old man, and I walked in crying my little soul out. And I grabbed my mom and said, Mom, you got to come downstairs. You got to talk to me. You got to listen to me. You got to. You got a 21-year-old young man crying his eyes out. You're going to go downstairs and listen to him. And that night, my mom told me she had trusted Christ as a 14-year-old girl at an evangelistic meeting in a little place called Gratis, Georgia. I said, Mom, I just had to know. I didn't want to go to heaven, and you not go to heaven. I've gone out and witnessed to my family, and I'll go out and witness to everybody else's family. Let me ask you a question tonight. You got some loved ones? You're not sure they're on their way to heaven? Be awful sad for us to come together and have a blast and sing it's a grand thing to be a Christian and let your loved ones die and go to hell. Be an awful sad thing for you let your schoolmates die and go to hell. I didn't know all this, what was going on, but when I was at Sequoia High School and I was in 11th grade, there was a girl who sat right next to me who was going to Bob Jones University when I had no idea what Bob Jones University was 40 plus years ago. And she never one time said boo about the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a typing class that same year. I did not know it at that time, but found out later there was a preacher's daughter who sat right the third seat back, sat right across from me also, and never one time told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. She never told Ann Enslow either. And Ann Enslow came one day to school and had a headache. And she was an office aide and went and checked in and told them, I got a headache and it just feels really bad. And that day she died on the way to the hospital of a brain hemorrhage. And neither one of those girls had ever told her about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who have you not told? Amen. I said, who have you not told? Right. Who have you not told? You say, I'm just nervous about it. You go ahead and tell them anyway. Amen. I said, you go ahead and tell them anyway. Amen. You know, I'd rather them be mad at me, never want to talk to me the rest of my life, than never say anything about it and let them die and go to hell. Amen. You still believe hell's hot? Amen. You still believe hell's eternal? You still believe hell's for the lost? Lost whether you're connected to them by relationship or not? When I got saved, I worked at a warehouse, and I did not know you were only supposed to give one gospel tract to people. So I gave them to them every day. I did not know that you were not supposed to give only one gospel tract to the secretarial pool. So I went every day and put a gospel tract on their desk. I had some people that more than willingly accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I had one old boy, his name was George Lowry, redheaded guy. And you know how redheaded people are, they're mean and nasty kind of people, you know that. Especially the girls. They're the worst. Boy, he cussed me, let me have it, ripped into me all the time, nonstop, coming by, calling me a Jesus freak, Rev, and all this kind of stuff, and just say vulgar kind of things to me. There came a day one time, he came up just before break time, and he said, hey, I want to talk to you at break time. I don't know about you. I don't know anybody talking to me like that. First of all, I'm not going to be scared. I said, about what? He said, about that Jesus stuff, about that getting saved. I said, I'll see you at break time. We met at break time, didn't quite get done. Break time was over. We met at lunch, and he bowed his head and prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior at lunchtime. But you know what? For over a year, he had not received me. He got saved. He said, when's the next time you got that church thing going on? I said, well, it happens to be tonight. It was a Wednesday night. He said, I'm going to go to church. And what's the next thing you do? I said, you get baptized. He said, I'm going to get baptized. He said, if you don't mind, I want to do what you're doing too. I said, what's that? He said, I want to be that preacher kind of guy like you're going to be the preacher kind of guy. I said, it's okay with me. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, maybe you ought to talk to my preacher tonight when you come to church. Took him to church that night, got in the baptism pool. While he's in the baptism pool, our preacher is sitting right over here where Brother Gray is sitting. He's in the baptism pool, and he said, hey, you, preacher, I want to talk to you after church. I went from my convert to, I don't know who the guy is. I ain't never seen that guy in my life. I don't know him. By the time I left the Sherwood Medical Industries, I had led 9 people to Christ. One of them became a co-worker on my bus route, co-bus worker. One of them became a deacon here in a church here. I moved back to Atlanta when I was moving here. I don't know what happened to him. Another one ended up going to Bible college with me. Last time I heard, he was an assistant pastor out in the Dallas, Texas area. Somebody's going to listen. And somebody's going to chew your face off. Somebody's going to say, thanks, thanks, thanks. And some are going to say, I don't want anything to do with it. But you know what? I can handle either one, can't you? Haven't you ever been rude? You girls have. What is it? It's a harvest field. How big is it? The Bible says it's truly great. What's the problem? Same problem we've always heard about. It's the labor force. It is a labor force. It is a labor force. I'm from Georgia. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. If you didn't say amen, you're not God's people. Years ago in the 1980s, they had a running back. His name was Herschel Walker. He set the record for the most carries in a football game. Rugged guy, big old guy. He got cut from his football team and when he was in high school. His coach said he was too much of a runt, too skinny. So he just started doing push-ups and sit-ups. He would do, every time a commercial would come on, he would do push-ups or sit-ups every time, the whole commercial while it was on. I read later when he ended up playing for the Dallas Cowboys, Praise God. And other places, when the commercials would come on, he'd have his wife sit on his back and he would do push-ups. Boy, I hope he didn't go to the ministry and get one of those heavy set, ugly ladies or something like that. I hope it was really skinning him. He set the record for carrying the football 43 times. They asked him after the ball game was over, he said, "Are you tired?" I remember the radio interview, and he said, "No, that ball ain't heavy." Can I tell you, those little gospel tracks, they're not heavy. They're not heavy at all. Anybody in this room can carry one. I said anybody in this room can carry one. Boy, there's nothing like winning somebody to Christ. I can still remember the first little boy I saw bow his head and pray and trust Jesus Christ at the Atlanta airport after we had gone 12 straight weeks in a row, and I had never seen anybody saved, and I didn't even lead the kid to Christ. But when my friend Chuck Sminky led him to Christ, fireworks went off in my soul. I said, "I want to do that again." And I don't know about you, about every week of the world, I want to do that again, and I want to do that again, and I want to do that again, and I want to do that again. And hey, young person, if it doesn't happen from you, who in the world is going to do it? And it's about time we get back up and rise up and be God's army and be laborers again, and don't care who gets the credit, let's just get somebody saved. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight. Help us, Lord God. World's dying and going to hell. And all we want to do is talk about politics. World's dying and going to hell. And we're talking about, I've been down this street before. And dear God, tonight, might you revive us. World's dying and going to hell. And we're saying, I've heard that before. I've heard the same message before. I've heard the same kind of message before. But dear God, tonight, stir our hearts again about getting back to doing the message. Father, bless us and help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are